This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
This troubled me greatly this morning as I began my day at 1:08 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Will she or won't she? Politico has a huge article about a viewer's guide to Hillary Clinton fever. This is what they write. The obsessive speculation about Hillary Clinton's plans for 2016 promises to be the longest and most intense parlor game in the history of American politics. A consuming fixation, not just among the operatives and reporters, but to a degree, an extraordinary degree, among average Americans. That troubles me greatly. Joining us on the program is Anita Finley. She's an author, actress, blogger. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, number one on women in politics books on Amazon for 3 months. And her piece addresses the issue about the current romance that we have with Hillary Clinton, and will it in fact make it an easier path for her in 2016? Anita, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jerry. How are you today?
I'm tired. I'm cranky.
You're cranky when I'm on the air.
Always put me in a better mood. But when I see, let me tell you what puts me in a bad mood.
Okay.
It is the speculation of who the political messiah in 2016 is going to be. Because I think someone like Hillary Clinton, who seems to be the preeminent front runner, who seems to suck all of the oxygen out of the room, whatever room she's in, because it's all about her in 2016, is so going to distract us from anything that needs to be done today that I will come to hate Hillary Clinton, not because of who she is or the fact that she's a woman or she's Bill Clinton's wife, but because we're not going to do anything other than debate what we're going to do and what will happen in 2016 if she ends up in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
And don't you think that that is deliberate on the part of the media to make you hate her?
I don't know. Is it? That's a good point.
I sure think so. I mean, I'm so glad that you said that. You always have such a refreshing perspective. I mean, first of all, Hillary is not, let's be very clear on this, she's not sucking the air out of any room because she has not said she's running. She said, you know what, I just want to, you know, knit some baby booties right now. I'm writing a book. I'm going to be speaking on behalf of the empowerment of women and girls, which I think is the unfinished business of the 21st century. I'm going to continue to do charitable works and so on. She has not chimed in about any of this, with the exception of standing up on behalf of gay rights at the Human Rights Campaign, since we're deliberating that in the Supreme Court, as you know. So she is not putting forth anything, and I find it so ironic. This backs up what you just said, Jerry. Politico is talking about this as the big parlor game, but Politico is one of the organizations that is at the forefront of feeding frenzy and this speculation. Here's an example. This is an article that they put out just yesterday. They're talking about Terry McAuliffe, who is running a gubernatorial campaign in Virginia, and saying that this is, in effect, the Clinton farm team, and that how he performs, because he used to be a Clinton campaign manager and a DNC head and a Clinton insider and so on, they are saying, in effect, that how he performs in his gubernatorial race will show you how much clout Hillary Clinton has going forward, as if you could possibly, in your wildest dreams, equate Terry McAuliffe to Hillary Clinton. First of all, you know, due respect to the man. Most people don't know who he is, and he doesn't have one-tenth the accomplishments that she does. So here we are. Politico is stoking this stuff. If you ask me, all due respect to the reporters, Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Martin, this is sensationalism in search of a story.
This is
what I'm talking about. So if they get you to be sick of her, that is deliberate, and it's also designed to sell copy, and you also hit it. It's about distracting you from getting anything productive accomplished, and she is not the one stoking this. They are.
And this is one of the things that you addressed in your book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, is the media's influence over our electoral process, that in the process of propping Hillary Clinton up too often and too soon, they can affect who it is that ultimately becomes the nominee or how it is that we view those people long before we'd had a chance to really take a look at whether or not it's the right man or woman for the job at the right time.
Well, exactly. But what we saw happen in 2007 and 2008, which I talk about in the book as well, is that the media did the opposite. What they did was contaminate the voters at large against Hillary by using visual vilification, showing every aged, unattractive picture of her they could imagine. Jerry, if I walk up to you on the street and I'm an animated person and I said, I love fudge, and if you took a picture of me just when I'm making that F sound, it looks like I'm cursing at you, not asking for chocolate.
Right. Well, so, they addressed that.
This is exactly what they did. To discredit her, they gave her nothing but negative media coverage, and they strewed rose petals before Barack Obama's feet. So, in effect, they made your decision for you.
And they look in the Politico article, they'd say the things that we have to look at is if we've got some, you know, kind of political scorecard that we're looking at. The viewer's guide to Hillary fever, we have to look at first her business choices, what she chooses to do in that area. Then we have to look at her caution versus her candor and what it is she says. Then we have to look at the company that she keeps. Then we have to look at where her book tour takes her. What states will she be visiting? Then will there be a muzzle on the big dog bill? But last and not least, and you know they were going to go with it, is her appearance. Right. And they left that to the end. And that was one of the things that you write about in the book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, is that we get into this pick it apart kind of a scenario where Chris Christie, the thing that we're going to judge him most by is his girthage rather than his ability to be an effective governor of the state of New Jersey. We're going to pick Hillary Clinton apart because of her hair, because of her clothes, because of her pantsuits, because of her
ass
weight.
Size. Don't forget ass size. That's
ass
very
size.
Important for a woman, you know.
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing, Jerry. This is what drives me crazy. People wanted to sweep this under the rug. If you look at the current media narrative, you know, putting aside for the moment Politico's silliness in trying to sell copy, right now every single article talks about she lost in 2008. They don't talk about the fact that she won more votes than he did, that they were separated by a handful of delegates, that this could have gone either way. And most important, they have absolved themselves of any responsibility for the sexist coverage that they had. They also want to pretend that media bias toward any candidate, male or female, or that the kind of sexism they exhibited toward her, toward Sarah Palin, that it did not exist. There was just an obituary in the New York Times that I also wrote about. This woman was literally a rocket scientist. She was given a medal by the president last year. And do you know the first words in the obituary were that she makes a great beef stroganoff?
I guess to some people that's important, and to the New York Post, you know, certainly.
No, the New York Times.
Oh, the New York Times, excuse me.
The New York Times.
And with regard to sexism, though, as you write in your piece, does our current romance with Hillary mean an easier path for her in 2016? It's not just when you say sexism or sexist ways of talking about Hillary Clinton. You refer to Maureen Dowd, which you say probably the New York Times' most powerful columnist. This is Hillary Clinton referring to her as a Hitchcock blonde, i.e. a woman with ice for blood. So it seems that the people that are out for blood with regard to Hillary politically, gender doesn't matter.
Oh, no. And with Maureen Dowd, I mean, she's had it in for the Clintons. She's had it in for Hillary in particular for years. I think there must have been a birthday party she was not invited to. Something went on there because she misses no opportunity. She's called her Sybil, and, you know, forgive me for using this on the air, but, you know, there's no white bitch month, and calling her somebody with multiple personality disorder and feminazi and shoulder pad feminist. She denigrates her at every turn, and the gender doesn't seem to matter. There are women who beat up other women. Perhaps it's the Hermione Granger syndrome, that there's something seems to be very primal, and I wonder how you feel about this, Jerry. It seems to me that men and women have this need to beat up or take down the smartest girl in class.
Just let me think about that for a second. I would say, for me personally, I have no need to take down the smartest woman in the class, but I do. I am bothered by people who want to keep telling me that she's the smartest woman in the class. And that's kind of what bugs me about the love affair with Hillary Clinton is that so many people have so many nice things to say about her so often. And if they're not denigrating her like Maureen Dowd, they're putting her on a plateau equal to Mother Teresa. And I think that's where I think it's just natural instinct for people to want to bring those people down a notch, not including Mother Teresa.
Well, but you know something? What's interesting, Jerry, is that the press behaved the opposite years ago, and they were very denigrating toward her. And the thing is that she's not the one who was doing any of this. What I object to is that somehow, one way or another, it winds up getting blamed on her, and it has nothing to do with her. This is someone who has a work ethic that's second to none, and even Republicans come out and admit that all the time. So whether you agree with her on policy, you know, she's not doing that. And you're not the kind of person, obviously, who wants to take somebody down. And I don't, that's not what I see in you ever. But there are people like that, the Jonathan Alters of Newsweek and the Dana Milbanks and, you know, the Ben Smiths and the Chris Matthews. They just have this compulsion. It just rankles them. And if they were ever on the receiving end of some of the filthy diatribes they had subjected her to, I promise you, they would be in the corner sucking on their thumb in the fetal position. Yeah. They couldn't tolerate it. So, you know, here's the thing. I so appreciate what you just said, because what I would like, and I'm not going to get it, but what I would like is not to either elevate her or denigrate her. Let's keep our mind on the issues at hand in terms of servicing the economy and stopping any sort of inequality that we see in the workplace or anywhere, and worry about the presidential election when it comes time. I don't need somebody to get out there and say that Hillary Clinton is the greatest human being on earth. I don't go out there and say that either, because she's capable of speaking for herself. If the time comes and she does run, you know what I want to know? I'm a meat and potatoes girl. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? How are you going to pay for it? That's what I wanted to know with everybody who's ever stood up on a stage in front of a podium and told me they can do something for me.
Anita Finlay is with us, author, actress, blogger. You probably know her from 24 or her many years playing Dr. Nora Thompson on YNR, The Young and the Restless. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Her website, Anita Finlay, FINLAY.com. Her piece there about the current romance with Hillary and the path to 2016. When you talk about, you know, the meat and potatoes issues that that people want done, that's coming from someone who's a disenfranchised Democrat, as I'm a disenfranchised former Republican. And what I see in this race to 2014, this race to 2016, it becomes more about the political victories than it does about getting things done, that if you did them, we would be able to say, well, that person should be rewarded with our vote, or that person should be not rewarded with our vote. But it seems we're rewarding the ability to get the vote rather than what people do when they get the power after they have the vote.
Oh, bravo. This is exactly what Chris Hedges wrote about. And even though you and he would never agree politically, he's a big lefty and used to be the Mideast bureau chief and is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter for The Times. Chris Hedges wrote a brilliant article in 2009 called Buying Brand Obama. And this is not specifically about President Obama. It just talks about how we are now inducted or infested with political theater, so that the political theater is what becomes important. And now we ask ourselves, was the theater effective? Not whether the politician actually told the truth or not. So we seem much more interested in, did the theater work? I mean, you and I have talked about what I call kabuki theater. I think both sides are, you know, behind closed doors and they're having a good joke together. But when they're out on the Congress floor, you know, they're acting like they're worst enemies. I don't buy this for a second, because if they actually solved some of these problems, then what would we have to hate each other about?
Yeah, but, you know, if you just make it about 2014 or 2016, Anita, then you can sell a lot of commercials and you can raise a lot of money and you can move a lot of dials, because it becomes the race to 2014. It becomes the race to 2016. And it's a lot easier to, I guess, keep people in that mindset rather than it is to have them talk about Social Security or Medicare or Obamacare or immigration. Those things tend to be a lot more complex. They require a lot more conversation. They require a lot more subtlety and nuance. And you need people that are willing to have reasonable, logical, honest, and informative conversations in each of those areas. But if you just say to people, here's your choice, black or white, Republican or Democrat, man or woman, gay or straight, you can pretty much carve up your audience, and then you can pit them against each other, and then you can have these rambunctious little exchanges on cable TV, and you can drive your dials and raise your rates and make tons of money. And it looks like, as you point out, a fight, but in fact, it's the WWE. It looks like it's real in the ring, but later they're in the bar knocking back cocktails going, that was a great show.
Right. Well, but that's what I wrote about in Dirty Words on Clean Skin in the first place, is to challenge people to examine media bias and to look beyond the talking points that they get and to say, if I lay out this argument for you in a different way and you get to look behind the green curtain, maybe you're going to feel differently about this
right.
issue or about this person when you're done. And that's what we need to do, because until we get to that place, it's all going to be kabuki theater. I mean, the man was just reelected and we're already looking at an election 4 years from now. It makes
amazing
sense.
No, and one thing I would love to see, Anita, is that when you see people on TV being interviewed on Fox or MSNBC or CNN or C-SPAN, they always have the name and then they have the state or the district and they always have the D or the R. And
right.
And unfortunately today, a Republican who sees a D or a Democrat who sees an R immediately stops listening to what that person has to say because they've been conditioned to reject it because they're not one of their own.
Bingo.
And if we got rid of the designations and actually listened to what people were saying, maybe we'd start to get some things done. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but it's conversations like this where you, a disenfranchised Democrat, and me, a former Republican, who have kind of the same hopes, dreams, desires, and goals for the country, differences, subtleties in what it is that we find to be more important than others at certain times. You know, these are the conversations that help people to become more included in it rather than excluded, which unfortunately seems to be where the do-re-mi lies these days. Anita, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us again on the program. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers, her website, Anita Finlay, FINLAY.com. And you can read her latest piece there about Hillary Clinton's run for 2016 and our current romance with it. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.